and welcome to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media, and we're coming at you from the capital, a capital that is terribly somber today, of course, for folks outside of Ottawa's capital. This is the one-year anniversary of the shooting that happened at the memorial, and of course, I had the pleasure of being there earlier today. We're having a little bit of trouble here. So, Seamus, why don't you introduce the topic?
Hello, campers. Welcome to today's episode. It's the LGBT homeless, and I've put in brackets youth, because as some of you may or may not know, I'm the 50 plus, so I don't like to just say, you know, homeless youth, gay youth. It's encompassing everyone. We have a couple of special guests, and if I get you to introduce yourselves, please. Oh, they've got no sound at all on their mics. Is that the story? I'll keep you entertained. I had the time today to take out and see this morning's memorial, and my sincere wishes and thoughts go to the families and our service people. I'm not used to filling in space. Imagine that, me speechless. I want to say happy liberal celebration as well for our new team that are happening, and hopefully some of the events that we will be covering regarding LGBT issues will be covered, because I know there are a couple issues that the Conservative Party put through that have affected our and I hate the word lifestyle, but have challenged our culture in the bedrooms. And now that Mr. Trudeau's rest in peace, his son is going to be in power once again, then he can support us that the government has no room in our boudoirs. And so I think we're ready, ladies. If you could introduce yourselves, please.
My name's Larissa Silver. I'm the Director of Community Services at Youth Services Bureau.
Fantastic.
My name's Sue Pullane, and I'm the Coordinator of the Young Women's Shelter at the Youth Services Bureau.
Fantastic. You guys may or may not know my brother, Mr. Chip McHugh, who's a counselor there as well.
Yes.
Excellent. So, yeah, we certainly have a very busy day ahead of us. And 'cause this is, of course, a quite a substantial topic. We were just talking before we came in about the statistics. You know, it's difficult to know how many people are either homeless or street involved, especially when we're looking at youth, because of course it's so difficult to do that. You know, a traditional census is something you find in the mail or slipped under your door, and you know, if you don't have a mailing address, how are you supposed to identify how many folks in Ottawa are street involved? So is there any way that we have any idea of that here in Ottawa?
So I think that there has been a move very recently over the last few years to try to get some research about youth homelessness. You know, as you're saying, it can be difficult in general to try to get a sense of who is it that we're serving. But the shelters are always a great place to have a bit of a microcosm of what's happening in the larger community. For youth, though, because many youth are unstably housed or they're couch surfing with friends, it can be even harder to get a sense of what are the numbers we're talking about. And then if we're wanting to get an idea of subpopulations as well, youth that are self-identifying as LGBTQ, trans, queer-identified youth, that also is about self-disclosure and the safety in doing that. And so we have some sense from national organizations and some researchers that are very, very committed and interested in understanding and preventing youth homelessness, and understanding that youth homelessness is really about trying to prevent chronic adult homelessness.
I was wondering, can you tell me what are the names of the other services in the region sending LGBT youth to Ottawa instead of helping them where they are?
Well, I'm not sure about other communities. All I know is that in Ottawa, it is a fairly large city, and there are rural components to the city of Ottawa. So the only youth shelter that we have is in downtown Ottawa.
Okay. I'm going to put my Judge Judy hat on for a second, and I want to know, do LGBT youth face discrimination in the shelter system?
I think they
that would be a yes or a no.
Yes, yeah. So the yes or no is, I would say, unfortunately in some cases, yes, because in any place where there are marginalized individuals, we really need to pay attention to how we may be unintentionally continuing that. But I also know that particularly with YSB, we've done a huge amount of work within our staff and within our structure to really make sure that youth are as welcome and as accessible as possible. And Sue can speak more to even the work that we were doing with trans youth back in 2002 to make sure our shelter was accessible to those that were identifying as trans.
And specifically, what has been done to address that? What things have you put in place?
Sure. Well, in our agency, we've had, you know, a policy or a discussion paper on homosexuality since 1984. So when we opened up our young women's shelter in 1995, when our young women come into the shelter, we talk about being a culturally sensitive, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender environment, that all young women are welcome. And we talk about, if there's homophobic or racist comments, we challenge people's thinking and try to have a conversation. And then basically the message is, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, then you really need to keep your comments to yourself, and you need to be respectful of people. You don't have to like people, but you need to be respectful. And so we've always had young women being able to identify being lesbian or bisexual, because we also have a number of out staff. We have messages that say it's okay to be who you are in our shelter. And with that, we learnt about youth in 2001, that if they could not live with their family safely, they would have nowhere to go. And we weren't equipped to deal with trans youth in the shelters in 2000. However, it became apparent that we needed to do something different, and that's when we approached the trans community. We did some training with staff, we talked to young women, and we moved forward with working with trans youth. So right now, if we have a trans youth that comes to our young women's shelter or our young men's shelter, we have a conversation with them about what feels more comfortable and what matches.
Brilliant.
We know that, you know, gender is fluid and it can change, and we're not hung up on all kinds of rules and regulations. It's more about where someone feels most comfortable.
What is the
just before we get into that, I just want to we want to take a minute just to fix some technical issues we're having. So in the meantime, this is a Tribe Called Red featuring Buffy Sainte-Marie, and their new song that came out very recently. Actually, it's free to the public. If you go to the website, you can download it. This is a song called Working for the Government, which I think is
very appropriate.
I know, absolutely. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Take it away, Buffy.
Absolutely. Thank you. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media. And today we are discussing the topic of LGBT and LGBT+. There's a quite the ridiculous range of acronyms. But we're really talking about folks who are homeless or street involved and in a youth category. And perhaps we can break down, you know, what does YSB consider to be youth? I think we had a great conversation earlier that often what you call youth depends entirely on who will pay you. So so a lot of these criteria unfortunately falls down to funding. So in your experience, what does the Youth Services Bureau consider to be youth in terms of its homelessness programming?
Homelessness specifically?
Well, perhaps we'll talk more broadly and then narrow it down to some of your programs.
Sure. Well, YSB in general will look at 12 up to 24 as youth. And in some cases with our mental health team, for example, they may work with families and even younger kids, but generally sort of that 12 to 24. The funding piece I think you were mentioning is around some of our funding, particularly around mental health, comes from funders that have to cap somewhere. And so they cap at age 18. And what that means is that some young people at age 18 may find themselves in an adult system. And youth is often about transition, right? And at 18, some of us might be ready for an adult system, and many of us may not be. And so how do we support those youth making that switch? And so there has been a great deal of attention right now on what we call transitional aged youth. So how do we support youth involved in the mental health system work within that, say, 16 to 24 range? Right? With housing, certainly, we tend to see youth more from that 16 to 24 because, you know, even around 14, they're still often involved with, if they're not at home, they may be involved with CAS. And so it's kind of that 16 to 24 area that we tend to focus on.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. CAS?
Oh, sorry. Children's Aid Society.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And one other question. So when you're 25 and on, where do you send someone? Where do you recommend?
If someone's over the age of 24,
25 and over.
Yeah, there are men's homeless shelters, and there's a couple of women homeless shelters, as well as VAW shelters.
Yeah.
And a VAW?
Violence Against Women. Now, most Violence Against Women shelters are funded, just to be clear, to serve women experiencing partner violence from 16 and up. Mm-hmm. So, but often, again, in that younger area, the need for being able to work with those and understand that age range is really important. So they may end up being best served in our shelter, but it sort of depends on that situation, right? It's a very situational piece.
And the reason why I'm, you know, so gung-ho there is because people got to wake up. People got to realize we are getting older. Mm-hmm. Canada is getting older. Mm-hmm. The generations are getting older. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not to put any sidelines on the youth, but we've got to really start opening the umbrella in these things with the age categories.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You know,
we need to recognize that we all go through transitions at different points
in our lives, absolutely.
And that system that, you know, and I appreciate too that challenge of trying to, there has to be a cutoff at some point, mm-hmm, I get mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. But what that looks like and how flexible that can be based on where the client or each individual is at would be wonderful, and I know that funders are really aware of that.
Good stuff, good to hear.
Yeah, it is really good, but I think that again, that's why when we talk about youth homelessness, we really talk about that as prevention piece, mm-hmm. as well. So, you know, it is about supporting youth where they're at, you know, and where they're at will change, you know, in that one youth a number of different times. Mm-hmm. But it's also about trying to look at that chronic adult homelessness and what can we do in that period of time where we have access to support those youth so that they are able to make whatever choices they need to make in a supported environment to be able to make the choices that will help set them up, mm-hmm. to transition into adulthood. So youth services can't just be about that physical roof over your head and food and clothing. It also really needs to take into account that transition into adulthood, that youth are leaving, you know, family places where they may not have had a whole lot of control or power because of their age, because of where they're at. And so we need to be cognizant and aware of that, too, and our services need to do the best they can to help youth transition into adulthood as well.
I want to touch on bringing it, I'm so sorry, back to youth.
No, that's fine. I'm going to stick my Welsh nose in.
The reason why I mentioned that is because obviously we mentioned at the top of the hour the rate of homeless youth who identify as lesbian, gay, bi, trans is anywhere from 20% according to a study in Toronto, and even as high as up to 40%. And that's a very phenomenal percentage. And I think what's particularly concerning is that it's so disproportionate to other age ranges. Outside of the youth category, it kind of drops back down towards the 10, 15 or lower. So why do you think it's so much higher under the youth age category that folks are identifying as LGBT? So what are perhaps some of the causes that are disproportionate to LGBT youth that leads them into homelessness?
Well, I think it's about the identification as well. Youth are a lot more fluid when it comes to their sexuality or gender identity. And I can't really answer that, but all I can say is that when our youth come out and say that they're lesbian or bisexual, a lot of times their family have not been supportive of this. They have conflict at home. Most of our young women that are coming into the shelter, home is not a safe option. They've been asked to leave, or there's violence in the home, there's mental health, there's addictions. It's not because they don't want to follow the rules of the home. And a lot of times our young women describe traditional parenting and families that expect, young women in very specific gender roles. And when they don't fit that mold is when the conflict happens. And they are disempowered and they are asked to leave the home. And then they're kind of starting from scratch. At 16 years old, if you can't live safely with your family in Ontario, you're entitled to financial eligibility, and they expect a 16-year-old to live on their own or have a supportive housing, which there's not a lot of supportive housing for youth in general.
You've really put the nail on the head there, and I think what people forget or people don't realize, people don't know, is there are so many elements that come into that picture when you're a youth. People don't realize we only do what we know. So if you don't know how to take care of yourself at 16, 18, 25, 35, Where are you going to learn it?
Yeah.
You're not learning it at home, so I'm going to learn it on the street. What do you learn on the street?
Yeah.
Other different behavior.
Yeah, it's rarely how to boil an egg, right? And I think that's part of that transition we were talking about into adulthood, right? What are those life skills that we need? And we think about life skills from that big picture. How do you create a budget? And that's an important thing to know. But sometimes it's really as straightforward as how do you grocery shop? Like, what are those staples? What is it that I need? And how do I need a pot? Do I need and some of us, have those stories of having a piece of chicken in a pot and literally having no idea what to do with it because it's like, I knew I needed chicken and I knew I needed a pot. How do these things come together, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you need to understand that they might be 17, but that doesn't mean they know how to look after themselves, right?
Correct.
It really and what does looking after themselves mean for them too? Because I think that's the other thing to understand, and that's where we need to be careful about creating a one size fits all model. Mm-hmm. And as we're just talking about those limited accesses and options, YSB is the only youth specific serving shelters in Ottawa, right?
And I also think one of the dangers of that too is you're setting up the system is setting up a false sense of security for an individual because it's like, oh, okay, I can go there. I can go there for my lunch. I can go there for that, and I'm okay. Well, you know what? If that's okay, you got to point out that, oh, okay, so you're going to do that for the next 10 years of your life.
I think we're going to bounce off there is, and I get what you're saying there, Seamus, but What I think would be interesting is, you talked about the chicken and the pot. Is there any degree of skill development or workshopping or other resources that happens at YSB to kind of, explain what to do with the chicken in the pot. Mm. You know, essentially those necessary life skills. So you're not bouncing from
what kind of programs
soup
do you guys
kitchen.
Have in place?
Yeah.
Well, it's individual as well. The other thing, just before I get into that, I think it's really important to acknowledge the fact that adolescence is a time of experimentation, of figuring out themselves. Your peer group is so important. A sense of belonging is very important. And our youth have been isolated a lot of times in their home, feeling very different. Yes, things have gotten better for our queer folks, but it still has a long way to go. And there's still a lot of discrimination and a lot of inferior feelings about people that are queer.
Mm-hmm.
So in our agency, we certainly look at the individual and see what they need to kind of learn, what kind of goals, what kinds of supports they need in the shelters. They are cooking their own breakfast and lunch. We're alongside of them, helping them to figure out how to use things, how
Brilliant.
To do chores, really specifically dealing with each individual depending on what their needs are, because that is the way to go, is to be able to assess and work with the youth and find out what they need to know and what kinds of things they already do know. Some of the youth are better cooks than some of the staff. I'm saying they could teach us some things. So, and that's really true. Everybody's at different levels, and it's important to know where they're at and then make sure that we help support them with that. But it is also that they need to be able to see other queer youth that they can relate to, that they can feel that they're not so alone. As a queer woman, I felt so different. And when I saw all the different people that identified as lesbian, that changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I really needed to see a variety, and it wasn't the stereotypical butchy lesbians that were out there. There are some, and we have to blow up some of those, you know, stereotypes of what people are. And I think that's really important.
I'm just curious, with those programs, are there ways, I know, we've got our government red tape of procedures and policies, which are important, but is there a way an individual can volunteer at YSB with the program? Or
so I think
is there a way a listener can get involved if they wanted to give some time?
Absolutely.
Other than donating, obviously, which is
which is always welcome.
Green, the green. We want green.
Well, we want to make sure that our programs are as fulsome as they can be, right? Mm-hmm. Which does require support. And I think that if somebody wants to get involved, to give us a call and talk through what some options might be, I think volunteering is something that's really, really important to do, regardless of where you want to volunteer. And I think that one of the things that YSB is talking about is how do we best harness volunteers? How do we best use that resource in a way that benefits the youth the most? And I know that we'd really like to be doing some looking around like peer-to-peer support. We do quite a bit of that with our youth advisory groups and that youth engagement piece, and wanting to expand some of that as well. So don't be shy to give us a call and have a conversation.
Is there somebody specific that we can speak to? Who's your representative for that?
You would think so. You could start with me, I guess.
Cool.
Give me a call, and I'd
Good
love to
stuff.
Give you my number off the top of my head, and I'm drawing a complete blank. So
that's fine. Whilst we pull up your number, we will jump to a quick music break.
You just ask her for her number?
I'm happy for that, by the way. We'll talk later.
We were just celebrating a year on Facebook. I'm sure I saw a lovely picture.
I was going to say, the world is fluid. The world is fluid, my friends.
Oh, gee. I'm sure my partner will be okay with that.
Why not, right?
Now, somebody else that I will be totally okay with a certain ménage à trois is Troy Sivan, who... YouTube star who's put together his EP, which is a three-part called Blue Neighborhood. The last song, Talk Me Down, it's a very sad song, but it's had quite a powerful impact. Definitely worth checking out. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And
that's a great name.
Oh, I know, his name
I'm
is amazing.
I'm thinking out loud. It's very
adult
star.
Anyway, wait, that wasn't where I was going.
This show just took a turn.
Oh, jeez. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You know, raising the tone, just a smidge. Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Wanna come home to you, but home is just a room full of my safest sounds.
Cause you know that I can't trust myself with my 3 a.m. shadow. I'd rather fuel a fantasy and deal with this alone. I wanna sleep next to you, but that's all I wanna do right now. So come over now and talk me down. Come over now and talk me through.